In 26 years of ministry, my guest saw less than 10 minor healings. Suddenly, this all changed. He spoke, and 7 deaf people could hear. He says, anything he can do, you can do too.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Tony Kemp, was just like you. And now he's moving in such miracles. I mean, he had one meeting in which 7 deaf people got their hearing back. Tony, you went how long without seeing miracles like this? You've been in ministry how long?
At that time, before that miracle, I had been in ministry 26 years. I had received the Messiah Jesus in 1972. I had become a deacon, which means you're serving in the church. I had become a youth pastor, which means you work with young people, several years. I had become an associate pastor, a parish pastor, which means you met the needs of people in a church. And had preached the good news concerning Jesus the Messiah for years. Saw maybe in 26 years, maybe 100 people receive Jesus into their hearts. I had prayed for many sick people, said, but only saw maybe 10 people healed. And the 10 that I did see healed by Jesus, headaches, stomach aches, back aches, no serious diseases like the blind, the deaf, the crippled.
So you know what a lot of people do, Tony, when that occurs? They come up with a new theology. And the new theology is God's not doing the same thing today that he did back then. I don't quite understand it, but he's not. But you didn't come up with that. You came up with something is wrong. And how in the world did you start watching It's Supernatural television?
Well, I began with looking at the ministry of the Messiah Jesus. I began to look in the Bible, the Word of God, and what it says. I looked at the book of Acts and what it said the apostles did. And then I began to go on a search. And when I was searching, Sid, I came across your program and I began to listen to your interviews with your various guests. And I began to see what God was doing for them and what God was doing in them and through them. And the thing that struck me was that they were just ordinary people. There didn't seem to be anything extraordinary about them. And I thought, these people are like me, and look what God is doing for them, in them, and through them. And if God can use them, God can use me. And so what I did, Sid, is I actually went on the internet, and I began to watch your program 5 to 8 hours a day. And I began to be saturated with
the reality. How many days a week?
Oh, 5 days a week, easily.
That was a full-time job.
Yes, absolutely. And I was a full-time pastor. And the people in my congregation and the other ministers who work with me, they understood that I was chasing God. And so nobody complained because we want our pastor to actually know God and get a hold of God. And so they understood. So nobody complained. What happened is after, you know, maybe a couple of years, they began to see the results of my chasing God.
Okay, so he sees one of my guests and he relates to the fellow. And he said, boy, I'd like to meet him. And a series of circumstances occur that he has lunch with this particular guest. And and what did you ask him at lunch, Dr. Rennie McLean? That was who he had lunch with.
Well, first I saw him on your program and he made this statement. You court the Lord Jesus through your worship.
You court the Lord.
And when he made that statement, that struck a chord in me. And so I knew this pastor. This pastor was also a businessman. I couldn't believe it. I never asked him to. He actually called Dr. McLean's office, talked with his wife. Dr. McLean changed his flight schedule. I'm a total stranger, just to meet with me. And so we actually brought a tape recorder, set it down at the table and said, talk to us about the supernatural. And so that's what occurred.
And then after that, you had a speaking assignment. And did you have a clue that something so supernatural was going to happen?
Well, one of the things that Dr. McLean stressed was you court the Lord through worship, and essentially what that means is the Lord inhales your praise, He exhales His presence, He inhales your worship, He exhales His glory. And in the presence and the glory of God is when miracles happen. And so I just began sharing the word that Jesus is a healer, a miracle worker, and that God does miracles today. And so people began to hear the word, and there were 7 deaf people in the service who came forward, and I prayed for them in the name of the Messiah Jesus, and instantly every single one of them heard. Now, Sid, this had never happened to me before, but I began to say, the word works. What I'm reading about in the Word of God, in the life of Jesus the Messiah, I'm now seeing in my own life. And so what I heard the people that you interview talk about, now it was my experience.
And one of the things that is so wonderful is the way God has prepared Tony to understand worship. Now, when you and I think of worship, we think of a church service where there is worship, and then there is announcements, and then there's offering, and then there's the message. But Tony, that's not what God's showing you, is it?
Right, right. Whenever we follow the teaching of the Messiah Jesus and do what His Word says, everything we do is worship. So if I pray to the Father in the name of Yeshua, that's worship. If I praise God, that's worship. If I just tell God, I love you in the name of the Messiah Jesus, that's worship. But then when I just love my wife, because the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives, God considers that as worship. If I love my natural child or my spiritual children, because Jesus said, in the very same way I've loved you, love one another, God considers that worship. And so the Word of God says this, that whatever you do, talking, living, life, do it in the name of the Messiah Jesus and to God's glory. Then that's all worship.
What I'm hearing you say is worship is walking in love, yes. 24/7. That's what Tony is saying. But I have to tell you, Tony, I don't meet too many people that walk in love like you do. Mm-hmm. How do you walk in such love? Give me some clues.
Okay. What happened, Sid, was in 1989, I had an experience with God that changed my life.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this word.
Supernatural. Do It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Tony Kemp. And Tony, I have to tell you, when I interviewed you on the radio, mm-hmm. I felt such love coming out of you. Mm-hmm. I felt such a peace of God coming out of you. It provoked me to jealousy. It literally did. Mm-hmm. And I want to walk in that. And I want you to be walking in that kind of love. Because when you're walking in that kind of love, you're walking in God. And when you're walking in with God, you got it all. And when you're not walking in God, you don't have anything. Tony, you said something happened to you in 1989. Tell me about that.
4:00 in the morning in the month of December 1989, I had an angel come to me. And immediately said, my spirit left my body and we went up through the heavens. One thing I should add, Sid, is that there were a number of other souls who had departed from their bodies, but their destination was obviously not heaven. But the angel took me into heaven.
Just out of curiosity, how did you know their destination wasn't heaven?
There was a portal, an opening, a tunnel that they went into. And when you're out of your body, all your senses are, how should I say this? You have the ability to see further, hear more, feel more, and I could see that they were going to the lake of fire.
Could you see their reactions?
No, because they were, I could see their departure into the tunnel toward the lake of fire.
Okay, so in the meantime, you're
yes.
going up, they're going into the tunnel.
Yes.
What's happening to you?
The angel and I are speeding through the heavens very, very quickly, and so fast that I really couldn't see the planets or the stars. And then we landed in heaven. I do want to say this to people because I think this is very, very important. People need to really give themselves the Messiah Jesus and go to heaven. And here's the first reason why. There's such joy there. The Apostle Peter said, it is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. My experience, I would say it this way. It's joy indescribable and full of glory. And the minute I landed in heaven, Sid, this joy exploded on the inside of me. Yes, there's joy. If I could say this, the Lord is full of joy himself. Okay? And the people are full of joy. But this joy exploded on the inside of me, and it was completely overwhelming. And so when the Hebrew writer says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, it's really true. I mean, there's life in heaven. And so this joy is what people are looking for on the earth. And the key to this joy is giving yourself to the Messiah Jesus and developing a relationship with him. So that's the first thing I want to say to people. The next thing I want to say to people is I was taken to the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly temple. And there was a door that was, and the only way I know how to describe this, Sid, is to say it was open and closed at the same time, but it was only open by appointment only. And the angel stood before me, and he walked through the door, and I just knew I'm supposed to follow this angel. When I follow this angel into this heavenly tabernacle, this heavenly temple, I'm in a courtroom. And there is God Almighty, sitting in the seat of the judge, the throne of God. And I could not see God Almighty clearly. I saw this brilliant white light, this being of light, and this glory cloud that surrounded him. And I knew that I was in the presence of God Almighty. The next thing I did, Sid, is I looked to my right because I just felt. It's an interesting thing about when you're in heaven, sometimes you just know things. You just know what you're supposed to do. And I looked to my right, and there I saw the Messiah Jesus as my heavenly attorney, as my heavenly representative, as my great high priest, and as my intercessor. And Jesus is the loveliest person I've ever seen. And
so you were like in a heavenly courtroom.
A heavenly courtroom.
And you were given insight into what we're going to be judged on here on earth.
What God said to me was this. He said, take notes and learn. He said, now the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And instantly I understood that what God meant was that he was measuring people. Now, it's very important for me to say this, Sid. God was not mad. God was not upset. God was not angry. God, his heart was full of love, but yet I had this incredible sense of his absolute holiness and righteousness, and he wanted me to understand his standard, as it were, of judgment. And it had to do with love. And that's what began the change on the inside of me. And so this love really was vertical and it was horizontal. When I say vertical, I mean how we worship God through the Messiah Jesus, and it's horizontal in terms of our relationships. And so the Messiah Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And in the very same way I've loved you, the very same way I've loved you, love each other. And so what the Father stressed to me is he was very concerned about people, about his sons and daughters, that we got our worship right and our relationships right.
Now, when we have our worship and our relationship right, and that what Tony just said was the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, worshiping God and relationships and love with one another, It creates an atmosphere for miracles. Tell me one miracle that has occurred when you've been ministering. Just one that comes
to
mind.
Oh, my. There are so many. I will give you this example. There was a young man from California. He was not a believer in the Messiah Jesus. He was just a typical person, a sinner, did not know God. He attended a church service, and God was healing people. And so he was born deaf. And so I
called. By the way, that's a messianic miracle. That's why they were so amazed that Yeshua, the King of the Jews, prayed for people that were born deaf and they got their hearing back.
And so I called him forward and I said, if God gives you your hearing, will you surrender your life to the Messiah Jesus? And he said, yes. I said, do you really mean that? He said, yes. And so he told me, I don't believe anything's going to happen. So I prayed for him in the name of the Messiah Jesus. And then when I tested, of course, I tested his hearing to make sure he was deaf beforehand. And when I tested his hearing after the prayer, he literally leaped back and his eyes opened up because he could hear out of a deformed deaf ear. And instantly he gives his life to the Messiah Jesus. And so we see miracles like this.
I want to hear about the person that lost 260 pounds supernaturally. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Tony Kemp. And Tony, you were telling me, because I've interviewed Dr. McClain, David Herzog, many others that have had supernatural gifts for people to lose weight instantly, supernaturally, some gradually, but supernaturally. Mm-hmm. What happened with you?
I had met Dr. Rennie McClain. He was doing a meeting in Borger, Texas. And Dr. McClain's a weightlifter, and I was more overweight then than I am now, and I'm still continuing to lose weight. He says to me, you need to lose some weight. And I said, yes, I do. Will you pray for me? And so he prays for me. And I felt nothing, but it was on a Thursday. Because I believed that God was going to do it, I went to the clothing store. I bought a pair of pants I could not get in. And that was on a Thursday.
Now, by the way, what did the salesman think about that?
I didn't tell the salesman.
Oh, okay.
I just got
the pants.
Listen,
I have a whole wardrobe of pants I can't get in, but that's not the reason that I bought them too small.
But go ahead. So then what happens is on a Thursday, I can't get in them. On Friday, I can get in them a little bit. On Saturday, a little bit more. On Sunday morning, they fit perfectly. I preached in them. When I finish the service and I go home, it's afternoon, I'm still wearing these pants, they're buckled, they fall off of me. As time goes on, Sid, I discovered that I supernaturally lost 50 pounds.
You weren't trying.
I was not trying, I was not dieting. God just did it supernaturally.
But once God did this for you, you find that when you pray for others, it happens. Tell me another story.
Well, I began sharing my personal testimony, what God had done for me. And that with God, nothing is impossible. And with God, all things are possible. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to the person that believes. Well, a woman came. She weighed 400 pounds. The Lord spoke to me and said she's going to have supernatural weight loss. And she leaves the meeting. It appears as if nothing happens. 1 year later, she comes to see me. I didn't even recognize the woman. She said, you don't remember me. I said, no, I don't. She said, you ministered to me 1 year ago, and I have lost 260 pounds.
And she wasn't trying.
And she wasn't trying.
Now, that's my kind of weight loss. Tell me about, you had an experience that I'm interested in which you were taken to heaven and told about the United States.
Yes. I believe it was 2003. My spirit left my body. I went to the throne of God, which, by the way, is as big as a mountain. God spoke to me. I wouldn't even lift up my head because the experience of God's presence and glory was just so great. I was literally at his feet. And he said, pray for the United States. And essentially, this is the truth. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that means institutions, business, economy, school systems, even organizations, even church organizations and institutions, everything will be shaken. And what God wants to do, God's not mad, God's not upset, God loves people, but God knows that people are spiritually asleep. And so God wants to use the shaking to wake people up to seek the Messiah Jesus and the church to surrender to the Messiah Jesus so we can do what he wants, which is to bring people to Jesus.
What would you say if I forced you to? What is the major key that you have learned to worship?
I would say surrender, to love God, to do what he says, and to love people. And the best way for people to do that is to soak in the supernatural, to see what's possible.
But you know, when I see you, I see a man that enjoys God.
Yes. Well, one of the things God did talk to me about was he talked to me about Hebrews 6, where it talked about Enoch walked with God. And it says, Enoch pleased God. And if a person goes to the original language, here's what they will discover. That word pleased means that Enoch enjoyed God and he was enjoyed by God. And remember I shared with you that the Father's heart and Jesus is full of joy. What gives the Father joy? What gives Jesus joy is my obedience to him, my love for him, and my love for people. That's what he enjoys. And when he enjoys me, I experience his love and his presence, and then I'm able to share his love and his presence. And that means that people are going to come to Jesus, people are going to be healed of their sicknesses and diseases, and people's lives are going to be changed.
As Tony is sharing right now, can you feel the love of God? Can you feel the peace of God? When I interviewed you on worship on the radio, mm-hmm. I asked you to worship, mm-hmm. and you surprised me, mm-hmm. because this is what I expected you to do. Mm-hmm. I expected you to start singing praise mm-hmm. songs and worship songs. Instead, he just nonstop started telling me how much he loved God, mm-hmm. started telling God how much he loved God, and quoted scriptures. Mm-hmm. That was what your idea of worship mm-hmm. was. Mm-hmm. But the presence of God got so thick mm-hmm. when you did that. Mm-hmm. But you weren't doing it for that purpose. You were doing that because you enjoy God.
Right. And he enjoys me when I just love him and obey him. The heart of the Father is to have intimacy with his sons and daughters. And that can happen to any person who says, Jesus, you're my Messiah, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. I want to be with you. The Father wants to be with his sons and daughters. And it gives him great, great delight when we're with him through the Messiah Jesus.
Very quickly, tell me about the supernatural rain. Very quickly.
Okay.
1 minute.
Okay. There was a woman who loved Jesus. She was a farmer, no husband, no son. There was a drought in her area. She asked me to come out and do home meetings, which I did. One time she said to me, she said, we don't have any rain here. Will you pray for rain? And so we just simply asked the Father in the name of his son, Jesus, to grant rain. And it began to rain on her property only. She lived in a small town next to a lot of farmers. The neighbors began to say, why does it rain on your property and not on ours?
What will God do for those that enjoy his presence? Do you know what? When you enjoy God's presence, you bless God. And you will walk in so much favor. But Tony, you don't do it to get something from God.
Right.
You do it because you're created
right.
to worship God.
Right.
You are created to worship God.
Right.